Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry. If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, as we study a sudden disappearance. Here's Paul Chappell.
There is an inscription in the dome of our Capitol in Washington, D.C., which very few people know about. The inscription says, and I quote, "One God, one law, one element, and one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves." One far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves. A visitor saw that inscription at the Capitol building some time ago and asked the guide, what is the meaning of the one divine event toward which the whole of creation moves? The guide said, "I think it refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ." When the dome of our Capitol was erected, it is very possible that some God-fearing official ordered the inscription there to be etched on the Capitol in order that a reminder would be made that there is coming a greater kingdom than even this great United States of America. Now, millions of Christians throughout the ages have believed that we, as the citizens of this planet, would enter into a period known as the last days, and that that period would culminate with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Gallup polls and other such polls have been conducted over the course of the last several decades, and repeatedly, the majority of people polled said that they believe there's some type of a culmination to history as we know it, and a majority of people have often said they even believe in the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, no doubt, there are those who deny that this will ever happen. Political strategist Kevin Phillips, in his best-selling book last year, American Theocracy, in which he spoke against Christians involved in leadership in our land, spoke about biblical prophecy. And he spoke about those Americans who believe in biblical prophecy as being over-imaginative and radical and asserting the rapture and end times Armageddon as hucksters. These people, he said, rank in the United States with the Shiite Ayatollahs. Here is the word of a political strategist stating his beliefs about people who take the Bible literally and believe that there is such a thing as the rapture or such a thing as the Battle of Armageddon. He would liken me this morning to a Shiite Ayatollah. And may I say that you can expect from the liberal left, the socialist left, you can expect more and more rhetoric like that towards Bible-believing Christians in the day in which we live. By the way, what we need in America today is an old-fashioned revival based upon the belief that there is coming a day when Jesus will return and that it is appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. And may we all live with this fact in mind that every one of us are subject to the power and the word of God. Well, today, while some may feel that we're just hucksters and Ayatollahs for having church and opening the Bible, I submit to you that the greatness of America is simply found in the fact that for over 200 years, people like us have met once or twice a week and opened this blessed book to find the will and the mind of God. And so, much to the chagrin of the liberal left this morning, I intend to open the Bible and, as you've seen in your notes, share with you several dozen scriptures that speak to the issue of the rapture of the church. We don't do this in some flamboyant way just to stir emotion. We do this, my friends, because it is, in fact, the blessed hope of every born-again Christian that we will see Jesus Christ one day face to face. That's my hope, and my hope for change is found in seeing Jesus change lives, and my hope for eternity is found in seeing Jesus Christ face to face. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank God for his wonderful promises to me and to you. I like what Joel Rosenberg said in his best-selling book, Epicenter, concerning the subject of the end times. He said, while it is fashionable in our times to analyze world events merely by looking through the lens of politics and economies, it is also a serious mistake, for it prevents one from seeing in three dimensions. To truly understand the significance of global events and trends, one must analyze them through a third lens as well, the lens of Scripture. Only then can the full picture become clearer. And certainly the Scripture gives to us many indications of the last days, many ways to know that we're moving toward the culmination of world history as we know it. The Bible gives many of those indications. For example, wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24 and verse 6 prophesied, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, Jesus said. We learned last week about Israel's return to the land and the prophecies of Ezekiel 36 and 37 being fulfilled as something that would predate, if you will, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible predicts many false prophets will rise and deceive many. The Bible predicted an increasing in transportation and technology where many shall run to and fro, Daniel said, and the knowledge shall be increased. The Bible speaks of the rise in occult practices, 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And now more than ever we sense of the demonic warfare that is taking place. We see people, young people many times, who have been raised in Christian homes, giving heed to the doctrine of devils and seducing spirits, and under the influence of narcotics and alcohol, under the influence of pagan worship. And in the latter times, the Bible says, this will increase. And my friend, that's why we want to get firmly anchored into the teaching of the Word of God. Because we're living in these last days. Diverse types of diseases and earthquakes were also prophesied. And all of these things will culminate in the last days with what the Bible calls the time of great tribulation. We'll learn about that a few weeks from now. Matthew 24, 21, Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So many indications of living in the last days and many things that we can watch for, many signs of His coming. But may I say to you that for you and for me as Christians today, all of the things in the news, and even including Russia's alliance with Iran, even including the prophecy we'll see next week, even including the idea of one world currency introduced in the United Nations this past week, all of these kinds of tidbits of news that we hear should not discourage us. They should remind us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And they should be a reminder to us that God's timetable is going forward as planned. Now the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now take note of who we're watching for, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is referred to here as the great God. And those who believe in this truth, the deity of Christ, also believe in His coming again. That belief will be disdained more and more by those who deny that Jesus Christ is the name above all names, that He is God in the flesh. Nevertheless, for those of us who believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, we are to be looking for Him as our blessed hope. It is the hope of seeing Christ. It is the hope of being in heaven for all of eternity. Colossians 1 and verse 4 speaks of it. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." By the way, how many of you are thankful that you have a hope in heaven someday? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, "It is reserved in heaven for you." I'm thankful that there is more to life than this life. I'm thankful there is an eternal life in heaven. And the blessed hope is that we will see the Lord face to face. Now, the hopeful moment of which I speak is entitled in today's message in the sense of a disappearance. But may I say that the Bible refers to this as a catching away. The word sometimes is used rapture, which means a catching away of the saints. And this is the blessed hope that one day we will be caught away to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, this promise was not given by a political strategist. And this promise was not given by a politician of any sort, but this promise was given by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this promise was given by the apostles of old. And in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, we read a few weeks ago, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And you see, my friend, what I'm speaking to you about this morning is a more sure word of prophecy. This prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book from which I preach this morning is a divinely inspired book. It is God's Word, and God in His Word says to His children, "I want you to be looking for that blessed hope." Now, my friend, that is either the greatest encouragement we could ever think about, sing about, and preach about, or indeed, it is the greatest hoax ever given to humankind. But I submit to you this morning, it is not a hoax at all. It is the hope and the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's study it today and let's see. Is it man's word or is it truly a central theme in the Word of God? Notice, if you would, the promise of the rapture as we begin our study this morning. The promise of the rapture. And I speak to you on the subject of the rapture this morning in this fourth week of our series simply because I want you to have a fix in your mind that the rapture will take place prior to the many events that we'll be studying in the weeks to come. Now, will there be a forming of a false government perhaps prior to the rapture? Will many of these things take place in the formulation and the setting up even of preparing for worldwide currencies and governmental agencies of all kinds? I believe that's happening right now. But I believe that this matter of the rapture is a promise that we can be looking for even at this very moment. Let me share with you why today. First, notice it is a frequent promise. It is a frequent promise. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and many of those refer to this rapture or the coming of Jesus for his children. And we'll see in a moment that is a distinct occasion separate from his second coming. But this promise is given very, very frequently. And it is a sure promise. Now think of what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Titus here as we read a moment ago. He said, looking for that blessed hope. Would you say those first two words with me? Looking for. One more time. Looking for. He said, we're looking for it. He didn't say it might be something that takes place. He said, we are expecting this. It is a sure promise. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, for our conversation or lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we, notice this, look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we covered a few weeks ago that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And some critics would say, well, there you go. The Apostle Paul was looking for it and it never happened. And your granddaddy was looking for it and it never happened and it's never going to happen. And again, I remind you, friends, it's been but 2 days on God's eternal timetable since he said, I will come again. And Paul said, we're looking for the Savior. Notice in Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Did you catch the word there? Shall he appear? 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. My friend, there is not a more sure promise in the Bible than the promise that Jesus Christ will come again for his own. You can take it to the bank, mark it down, let the liberal politicians scoff it, let them have their ecumenical service and laud every religion. But there is but one religion, my friend, this morning that has a Savior who shed royal red blood that was put into his body by the Holy Spirit of God, and who after his death rose again on the third day. And while he ascended into heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus shall come unto you in like manner as ye have seen him. Do you understand? We serve today a risen Savior. And the promise of his return is based on the fact that he is a risen Savior. Over and over again, this promise is found in the Word of God. I heard of a story of a man who smoked cigarettes. Don't get nervous. It's not your life's story I'm about to tell. Now, through the reading of several articles, he became alarmed over the strong relationship between smoking cigarettes and cancer. And so finally, he said to a friend of his, he said, you know, I've been reading so many articles about smoking and lung cancer that I've decided to quit reading the articles. Now, my friend, you can ignore the Bible, as many Americans have, but it does not change the reality that Jesus Christ is coming again. He is coming again. It's a sure promise. May I say to you secondly this morning, it is a securing promise. There's something secure about knowing that he's coming again. One of our young people recently was at home and they thought something was wrong. Maybe someone was breaking in outside the house, and it turned out to be not that, but they thought it was. And they called their father and they called others to come. And there's something assuring about knowing that our Father is coming. In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. It brings a security to our lives. Now listen to what Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, my friend, I checked the sign out front when I drove up this morning, and it still said Baptist Church. Baptists believe the Bible from cover to cover. We even believe the cover when it says Holy Bible. And church is a place where you're supposed to open the Bible and find out what God said to man. And I want you to remember this morning that Jesus himself said, this is not some denominational idea. This is not the idea of some huckster or Shiite Ayatollah. My friend, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will come again. And so we wonderfully thank him today for this frequently given and hopeful promise. I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And listen to those words. We'll study them again in a moment. I will receive you unto myself. Here at Lancaster Baptist Church, 6 or 7 times a year, we observe the Lord's table. And when we do, we read this particular verse, and it's in your notes, 1 Corinthians 11:26. Notice what it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." And what do those next three words say, please? "Till he come." Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, "I want you to give instructions and order to the church. I want the bread to be distributed. I want the juice to be distributed. I want people to eat the wafer and drink the juice. And I want them to do this in a manner that we call an ordinance or a remembrance, so that we will all, as Christians, remember what Jesus did when he died on the cross." And the instruction to the local New Testament church was simply this: I want you to do this until he come. Every time we have the Lord's table, we not only look back to the time that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, but we look forward to the time that Jesus Christ will come again. This is a frequent promise given to us in the Bible. This is not a minuscule passage. This is not something we're wrestling out of context. This is one of the main themes of the Bible, and that is that Jesus is coming again. It's a frequent promise, but I want you to notice, secondly, it is a factual promise. And by this I mean there are many specific facts given concerning the rapture. And I'd like you to turn in your Bible this morning, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Because I'd like you to have this passage etched in your heart and in your mind. I read this passage at many funeral services, but I'd rather you didn't wait until your funeral to hear it. I think it might be good to get it now. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. The apostle was writing to the Christians at Thessalonica. They had loved ones who had been saved, but they had died, and they were curious about their whereabouts. And that was an honest first century question that was being answered by the Holy Spirit. And so the apostle Paul answered in this way: "But I would not have you," verse 13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe," critical word there, "if, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, there will be some who will be alive when Jesus comes again, but that doesn't mean those who've gone before us will not also see the Lord Jesus Christ at that time.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Paul Chapel. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and you can find out more information about our program, our ministry, our daily devotional, and the daily podcast when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ. the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us. And we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.